Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. Davis.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah, you can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. T, Thanksgiving is coming up. What's going to be on your menu?
I got greens, peas, potatoes, tomatoes, lambs, rams, hogs, dogs, chickens, turkeys, rabbits, you name it!
Yes. I'm mad at the internet, like I told you the other day. I'm mad at the internet for doing that to Shirley.
And that sermon is so old. I don't even know who was looking at it and being like, "Oh, I'm gonna just make that." Oh, she that little piece right there into a song.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the video of the actual sermon, and I'm like, somebody actually saw this and said, "You know what? I can make a remix out of it.
I can work with that. I can work with that."
Oh my goodness!
Just crazy.
And it's become a challenge. Like, there's been so many different versions of it out. That people are just...
I don't know what these people are doing.
Speaking of America,
America, congratulations. Since we've been gone, we got a new president-elect.
Yes.
Congratulations, yeah. America.
Yeah. Speaking of challenges, the mannequin challenge has also swept the nation.
I just recently found out about that.
Well, you're not as well informed as everybody else in the world. At 24-hour cycle, you don't have that like the other of us do.
Yeah, I just found out about that.
Have your office done it yet? Have y'all tried it out?
I feel like somebody in a mural or something has in a mural. I don't know.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
I've seen a bunch of good ones. There was a Black Lives Matter one that was very good. Couple of basketball teams have done some very good ones.
I would say the best one I've seen, and no, not because it was the Gators, but it was really cool when the Florida soccer team won, and they did one. It was cool, like they were celebrating.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody was holding up the trophy, and people were sliding, and
that was good. That was good. I saw this morning one that was a boxer. They had their pet dog just have all kind of different positions. It was pretty impressive that you can get a dog to sit there that still and that quiet.
Was the dog asleep?
No, his eyes were open and everything. It was very impressive. But enough about that, because we got to get to chanting and ranting. I can't take it. I got mine. I just have to get off my chest.
Okay, go ahead. Get yours off your
okay.
chest.
Okay. You know, during the holiday season, I think Starbucks is very popular for doing it, where they'll do a pay it forward type thing, where somebody in front of you done paid for your meal, and you know, then they ask you if you want to pay for the next person or whatever, pay for your drink at Starbucks. But anyway, so that's always been something that they do during the holiday season. Well, I went through McDonald's drive through the other day, and you know, I go through McDonald's, I get pretty much a variation of the same thing. Get, you know, the little McDouble, a small fry, and a large sweet tea. Comes out to $4.36, I noticed.
Oh, Lord, well, you're doing that too much.
Well, that's my go-to, so I know the price. So I get to the window. The girl says, you know, we're doing a pay it forward deal. The person in front of you has paid for yours. Would you like to pay for the next person? I said, how much is it? $32.76.
No, bro. I lost it.
I said, no. First of all, I didn't even get time to say no, because everything else just, I just went nuts. I said, $32.76. No, you know, I was just going off. And you know what? You can call me ungodly. You can call me a bad sport. You can call me whatever you want. But one thing you're not going to call me is broke. Because I ain't going broke over somebody else. I'm playing
$32. What did they have a family of five in there?
I don't know. I looked behind me. It was a little minivan. So it's quite possible. Yes. Yeah.
So, hammer.
Yeah. So that's my chant and rant. That has had me burned for about a week now. And yeah.
So first of all, I want you to stay out of McDonald's.
I probably will after that.
No, to my chat is coaches across America. I don't care what sport it is. Please, 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 stop let the starting whoever play and just be awful for first, second, third quarter, and you never pull them out. Why do you have a second string person if your starter is playing horribly and you can't say, go get him or her? Because Florida. Now, we should have never lost. We might have still lost to Arkansas. But Applebee played his butt off against, who have we played last time? Who did we play? We just beat somebody. Anyway.
Yeah.
And the whole time, I was like, well, because people was giving me information. I was like, well, dog, is he going to take the kid out? Like, he got six interceptions to two touchdowns over three or four games. I don't care that his daddy is an NFL coach. Maybe he paying you under the table to keep his son in. I don't know. You need to be better than that. There's no way, we thought about, what you mean you thought about it? At what point did you, well, how long do you have to think about it? Oh, we losing, it can't get no worse.
Yeah, that's Del Rio you talking about?
Yes, yeah. He awful. He play awful. Okay, this whole Shea Patterson thing, me and a young man in my office was having a discussion. Oh, it's good for Shea Patterson. It's good for recruiting. I'm like, no. I would rather keep him as a red shirt. This is just me.
Mm.
Because, okay, say, I won't call it a Pyrrhic victory. Do you know what a Pyrrhic victory is? Mm-hmm. This is from a 187 movie.
Tell the people.
A Pyrrhic victory is a victory at too great of a cost.
Yeah.
So, we beat Texas A&M. We may win out, but what if we don't? Now, you don't pull this red shirt for one win. Okay, so we win. Three wins. You're not going to win a national title. You're not going to get a good bowl game because you've been so awful. Why pull his red shirt? Where is the second string guy? And this is my thing. Again, I'm back on the second string guy. Because this kid tried to tell me that the whole time that he was always the second string guy, they just had him redshirted. That makes no sense. I mean, yeah, I can see you saying, well, we'll just leave him a red shirt, but we know if Chad Kelly get hurt, we're going to pull his red shirt. Like, and then we get to three games left. I just see coaches do this all the time, leave players in, hoping they're going to come out of their slump or whatever. Don't, like, because I've been the person sitting on the bench. Thinking, well, I can't, dog, am I that bad? Like, I could be that. I mean, I could go out and do that. Like, give me a chance.
Right.
So, I don't know who the second string quarterback was on the roster for Ole Miss, but I suspect he won't be here long because you just, I mean, oh, I'm second string. Now you just jump to the rookie sensation and what? Not even give me a chance. So,
I think that Pellerin, who is the the guy that's been the backup all year long. I think he has a defined role. He comes in, and you know he's going to be the Wildcat-type quarterback where he's going to run the ball. He's not going to pass very much because when Chad Kelly did go down against Georgia Southern and he had to come in and he actually had to make a couple passes, you see why he don't pass very much because he didn't do very well. Patterson, as far as taking his red shirt, I know why they did it. I understand why they did it. You know, it was to keep the momentum going, to have a chance at a bowl game. Just needing the two more wins to get bowl eligible is what I said momentum. Wrong choice of words. Just getting the two more wins to get bowl eligible and possibly a third one, if you win out. If he is as good as everybody is anticipating him to be, no chance he was going to be here 5 years anyway if they'd have kept the red shirt.
So, well, I get that, and that's another thing the kid said. But, again, I just don't like the risk.
Right.
He can get hurt too early. Over three games he's trying to win, yeah, whatever. You can always get hurt in football. But, I mean, okay, Chad Kelly just got hurt. You putting him out there. The offensive line ain't that great. Yeah, and I feel like they said something like he was running around like Johnny Manziel. I didn't see the game. That increases his chance of getting hurt and blasted. And Vandy is not a slow team. They for real.
Yeah, they've come
really
a long
good
way.
On offense.
Yeah. So it's going to be a challenge. And, you know, State is always a fight.
And
no
I'm about
matter.
To say State beat Texas A&M, and they going to bring their best against us.
Yeah.
So I just still, even if he stayed or not stayed, I just like, and I like the surprise element of bringing him in next year and nobody seeing him and just all of the hearsay that he's good.
Well, I really think that's a lot of the reason that we beat Texas A&M is because of they not seen any film on him. They didn't know what to expect. And he played well. He did play well. Good on him.
Well,
so,
somebody said he didn't play well at the beginning. He just kind of woke up.
His second half, he showed what he could do.
Okay.
The first half, he was kind of all over.
So, good luck with that. I'm speaking up for the second string guys that, why don't I get a chance? Because, again, I didn't know all this situation as far as that kid wasn't no good, but shoot. Why is he the second string quarterback if he can't throw and you got an offense that you want to throw? And if you don't think the kid going to stay 3 years anyway, just make him the backup.
Yeah.
And let him get some reps in there if you have a blowout. Because then if that was the case, you could have gave him more reps in practice.
Yeah, I see what you – I understand where you're coming from.
But I'm just speaking up for the second string people and coaches. When people playing off, just pull them, we thought about pulling. That made me so mad. What you mean you thought about pulling me out there playing like garbage, throwing interception?
Okay. Don't be afraid of Jack Del Rio. He in Oakland. He busy. He can't do nothing to you.
He not the athletic director. He can't do anything. What, he going to not draft your kid? So what? It's other teams out there. And he don't even make those decisions anyway. Okay, I'm right.
Let's switch gears and head over to college basketball, which is off and running. On the men's side, let me just say this. I've seen the first couple of weeks. I've watched the games that have been on TV. Michigan State, in my opinion, is the best 0-2 team in the nation. They have got some talented children. They just happen to have run into Arizona and to Kentucky the other night, which, obviously two more top teams, and Michigan State, like a bunch of teams in the country, are breaking in three or four freshmen in the starting lineup, so it's going to take a little time for them to get together, but they were competitive in both games, and you could just see the talent there, and it's going to be a great season for them, I believe, and I just love
Coach. You said Michigan State?
Mm-hmm. I love Tom Izzo as well, so I think he's going to have them ready to go when it comes March Madness time. Some other teams, like I say, Kentucky, Arizona, Duke, Kansas, all figure to be in contention at the end. I understand all these freshmen you don't really know what you're going to get by the time the end of the year gets here. But I just have to feel like, you know, all those guys at some point are going to overtake Grayson Allen. Everybody wants to be on the Grayson Allen train for player of the year from Duke. I just feel like one of these freshmen is going to overtake him by the time the end of the year comes. I just don't see him being. I mean, I understand he's the one with the experience. I think he's a junior now. But there's just way too many talented freshmen. And I hate the one-and-done rule. Let me get on that for a second. I hate the one-and-done rule.
Oh, we back to Ren Chen. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I had to revert back.
No, it's fine.
Because I cannot stand coming in. Because, you know, I see a little bit of it. But if you're a casual fan who doesn't follow high school basketball and the recruiting process and all that, you don't know these kids from year in and year out. And you're having to learn a new crop every year. Like with Kentucky, who has, you know, 5-6 new freshmen every year. I mean, you have to learn a new crop of names. And like I said, Michigan State starts 4 new freshmen. I mean, it's so hard to be invested in these children.
I agree. I concur. Because I think that the NBA needs to stop. Because them going to school for 1 year is not making them any more fundamentally sound, any more physically ready to come and play. And really, a lot of these cats, some of them, I give them credit, they come and do what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Then you have those guys that know that they don't, they have. Really, the NBA should try to encourage them to go overseas somewhere and play.
And some have done that, you know.
The colleges, they just want them because, you know, Kentucky, that guy, that's what he likes to be known as now. And yeah, they could possibly help you, like, you know, Davis and some of these other guys have led their teams to titles. But overall, basketball just ain't as good as it used to be. And I know that make me sound old, but I don't care, because it's just like I watched the Ole Miss guys, and I was like, okay, well, they kind of passing it around, but like this is just gonna be boring basketball. Like, unless somebody get hot, it's just kind of boring to watch. Mm-hmm. And it used to be fun because the games were competitive. Even in the NBA, it's kind of boring. They don't play no defense. And I know they want scoring to be up, but God, these scores be so 130. Who playing defense when it's 120 to 130 something?
There was a time in the NBA when they were scoring like that and defense was still being played. So I know it's possible.
But now, you know, during that time, they didn't have all these you can't sag rules. You can't, like, they got so many defensive, like, these rules that you can and can't do, which leads to my being, I guess, sad about the state of basketball is because students, they not fundamentally sound, because at one point they wanted to be like Mike, so then everybody wanted to dunk.
Mm-hmm.
Then they wanted to be like Kobe, and then everybody just want to hold the ball and do whatever and try to be flash. Now they want to be like Curry and shoot as far back as they can. In between that, we had N1 mixtape basketball, where they wanted to toss the ball and do all these trick things.
I'm glad that has kind of fallen off the wayside.
Oh, that has faded away, but it has damaged like a crop of children.
Yeah.
We already talked about AAU basketball.
Yep.
So fundamentals aren't where they should be. And I'm not a LeBron fan, but I love his play. He can play the game. Mm-hmm. He's fundamentally sound. He plays and tries not to just be the guy and shoot all the time. He passes, rebounds, defends. And if more people wanted to be like LeBron, but I'm telling you, you go up to any court, you will see guys pulling over half court, shooting it deep. Dude, they don't get extra points for shooting that deep. Most time they miss. And don't let them hit one or two of them. It's over.
Right.
That's all they can do the rest of the game.
Yeah, heat check.
Go sit down somewhere.
Let's see.
You started me, Chan.
All right. Over on the women's side, it's finally happened. I know it's early in the season, but for the last 4 years, I didn't think it was possible ever again. UConn is finally vulnerable again. Oh, my gosh.
They almost lost.
Florida State almost got them, and if Florida State would have done a few, you know, ifs was fifths, but if Florida State would have done just a few more things here and there throughout the game, that game would have been theirs. They should have had.
Well, I tell you what, unless Don just blow this one, it's your time, Don. You got the guards, you got the post. If you blow this one, because UConn ain't going to be down forever. So, you better go on and get in where you fit in, and that would be like now.
Yeah. Kayla Davis has proved to be very beneficial so far this season for them. Yeah, she's done well. Baylor's another one.
Bigger guards, and I don't think she'll be like Tiffany Mitchell where she just fade in the moment because she liked the attention. She liked that, mm-hmm. You know, her daddy was an NBA player. So, and then they got that other guard that's playing beside her. So even if she kind of have an off night or whatever, and then you always got your bigs to go to. So yeah. She got all the pieces. Don't drop the ball. Don't drop the soap.
Baylor and Notre Dame as well are in contention for that. They've got a lot of good pieces, and I think they were just licking their chops ready for this year when UConn lost that big group of seniors last year. Everybody's kind of like, yes. Another team to look out for right here in our own state, Mississippi State. 10th in the nation. I got a chance to watch them last night against Tulane. The post players last night, now this is not going to happen every night. Post players last night, I think they shot something like 6 for 17 from the field. They struggled to score, and a lot of it had to do with Tulane's, you know, mismatching with man and zone defense, kind of switching it back and forth and just confusing them a little bit. I've seen enough of O'Corey and people like that from State. Their post players are going to be fine. Their guards are what going to carry them anyway. I mean, they got Victoria Vivians, Morgan Williams, Dominique Dillingham. They got enough around the perimeter that's going to carry them. Their post players, you know, going to get it together. Just last night was an off night for them. And Tulane is a well-coached team and has always been a well-coached team. So they came in there and played them tough, just couldn't score with State. And that's why State wound up being victorious. But another team to look out for.
It should be fun. Now, I will say the girls are looking a lot. You know, they've been solid throughout. Yeah, you had UConn dominating, but it was pretty, you know, solid parity or whatever you want to call it throughout. Right. But the guys just, again, I can just go back to that time that University of Florida men, like, they were undefeated, had some 38-game winning streak, and I was watching them live, and I was like, how can this be the number one team in the country? They were just not good. So, anyway, I'm sorry.
Have you seen that SEC story on them?
I haven't.
You need to check.
I didn't know they had one.
Yeah, it's about that time where they went back to back. It's really good. You need to check it out. On to our Empire review. We got a couple episodes since we've missed a couple weeks here, and that's my fault again. I apologize. One day I'm going to get healthy and we're going to be all right. but let's see, season 3 episodes 5 and 6, in episode 5 it was really centered around Shine, which is Exhibit's character, you know, getting a little revenge on Lucius and Andre for the beatdown they put on him. You know, he lined up his goons and was coming after him. That wound up being de-escalated. They tried to have a little meeting with him. Of course, the meeting wasn't going well until Anika walked in and basically said, you know, Lucius, why don't you tell Shine what we planned on him doing, you know, him having a little piece of thing and kind of being over a part of Empire, a couple of artists, and, you know, basically a lie, but she was just trying to get him out of the situation. So now he's kind of overseeing Nessa, who is his sister, that's part of the group, part of Empire, and overseeing Frida Gatz, who is now out of prison. You know, just kind of being a mentor or a producer of type for them. Basically just kind of give him a piece of it, and so he won't, you know, act on his vicious ways that he's getting ready to just shoot up everybody. At the end of that episode, we saw that him and Tariq, the FBI agent, and half-brother Lucius, kind of got together, and you see there's a little cohesion, what's the word?
Coercion.
There you go. Between them two, he doesn't outright say it, but they're right outside the barbershop where Freda Gats is leaving, and Cheyenne kind of mentions, you know, that's Freda Gats. And Tariq said, oh, the girl that shot Jamal at the Aces. And he said, yeah. You know her daddy's Frank Gathers, right? And, you know, Frank died in prison. It just so happened that Lucius was in prison with him the same time that he died. And Cheyenne was like, I'm not saying that was coincidence. I'm just saying. And Tariq was like, so you saying Lucius had something to do with it? And Cheyenne basically was like, I ain't saying nothing. I'm just saying.
Oh, Lord.
So, yeah, that's how that ended. Last night's episode was very good. There was a break-in, a hacking of all of Empire. They hacked into the emails, hacked into the servers, hacked into everything. Just was tormenting the whole family all the episode long. They broke, just throwing emails out there, personal emails, and this, that, and the other. They put up a picture of Cookie that she had sent to Taye Diggs' character, where she's basically naked. And they put up the picture of her, and she had the best line. Obviously, she always has the best line of every episode. She looking around at all the people staring at the picture, said, what y'all looking at? They perky? You know?
Stop it.
And, so it comes out, they basically say that Graham, who is Lil Romeo's character, is the one that's behind the hack. They confront him about it. Andre shows where, because now at this point, him and Lucius are in Graham's apartment. They then broke in. Andre shows Graham that, you know, we see all the stuff on your computer. We know you're the one that did it, blah, blah, blah. So they get done with that. And at the end of the episode, we see that it wasn't Graham. Even though Lucius had Shine and a couple of his thugs beat up Graham for everything, they see that it wasn't Graham. It was actually Andre in coercion with Vaughn, who was played by French Montana, who we saw at the very first episode of the season. Him and Birdman were on the first episode. Vaughn was the one who was actually behind the hack. Andre was together with him, basically had him do the hacking. Because in the middle of all that, when it comes out that they caught Graham, or, you know, allegedly caught Graham for doing it, Andre gets promoted to president of Empire Extreme. You know, he's got that big promotion now, more money. And that's when, at the end of the episode, we see him and Vaughn have their little meeting where he's basically giving him the money, thanking him for everything, helping him out. So Andre's playing dirty. So it's getting interesting. That was a real quick review, so I didn't really get too detailed. One thing I did leave out from last episode, Hakeem basically got mad about the fact that Andre and Nessa are kind of having a little thing. And Hakeem has never
asked. Who's Nessa?
Nessa is Shine's sister, Sierra McClain's character. Okay. So Hakeem gets jealous of that because, you know, he and Nessa, he's got a little thing for Nessa, but he never acted on it. You know, nobody knew. Nessa didn't even know. So he gets mad at Andre because Andre and Nessa are, you know, having a little thing together.
Okay, Andre done moved on from girl dad into...
Real quick. So, yes. Okay. So they have a little live concert where he basically goes in on Andre. He goes in on Jamal, calls him a little girl, says, you know, been wearing girls' clothes since day one, and, you know, going on and on. I mean, all this is live, and, you know, it's a big old mess. Cookie tries to take down the live feed, and Lucius is the one that's feeding all this. He's the one starting all this, because he's putting all the thoughts in Hakeem's head. So you can see Hakeem, Lucius is trying to, you know, put a divide between his brothers and all his sons, which he did a great job of. He pretty much does every season at some point. But I think this one is going to stick for a little while. So, yeah, and then the end of this last night's episode, Hakeem overdoses. Well, they thought it was an overdose. Turns out he just blacked out from his medication and alcohol. You know, he gets revived, but I'm sure there's gonna be some ripple, because they didn't touch on it past the once he got revived in the shower. So I'm sure there's gonna be some kind of ripple effect from that. We got a return of Thirsty in this episode. We hadn't seen Thirsty all season. A pimp named Slickback. We hadn't seen him yet this season. So that
he back.
Yeah, he's back in it. So, what's her name? Golly, what's Becky? What's her name? Precious's character.
Precious.
Yes.
That girl name ain't Precious.
I know. Gabby Sitterbay. Excuse me. I could think of her real name, but yeah, she's this whole season. She's been kind of fighting for that A&R spot, and the guy that they hired over her. Basically, every episode they go into having a moment where they're gonna work together, and you know she has some great ideas, and he winds up stealing them every episode. Right. So eventually, you're gonna see her either explode or get the best of him. You see it coming, and you just don't know when it's gonna happen. But she's getting more and more frustrated with him, and it almost boiled over this episode. But Thirsty was able to calm her down and basically said that ain't the way I go about it, you know. So you know she's gonna be slick the way she gets him. So you don't know when it's gonna
Thirsty.
Happen.
Thirsty, yeah, we know how thirsty I'm for it.
But yeah, this season has been really good. There's only three more episodes. Their next episode is gonna be after Thanksgiving. But yeah, this season has been full of it. So hopefully it continues on its path. I think next episode we're supposed to get a little bit about what happened to Cookie's daddy. So I can't wait to see what happened there.
Cookie's daddy had a... I ain't watched it so long. I didn't even know they ever talked about him.
Yeah, they've been having flashbacks this season where, you know, Cookie and Lucius and their younger selves. And Cookie's old boyfriend that Lucius stole her from. And yeah, so they showed a flashback where younger Cookie is running to an ambulance and they're talking about her daddy. So I guess we'll get into that next episode. But yeah, this season, Empire's been bringing it.
Okay, Empire.
You got anything else before we wrap it up?
No, how we wrapping it up? We ain't talking about no NBA and how my Lakers doing.
Let's talk about it.
You're so shameful.
Let's talk about it.
The Lakers are looking better. People, I'm so excited. And I'm not thinking that we're going to make the playoffs by any means, but it's just the whole we not holding the ball and looking at Kobe and taking bad shots, the ball movement, people touching the ball, everybody getting chances to score. I like the free-flowing offense, the defense trying. They may not be that great at times. I think the most catastrophic thing this year right now is, and I shouldn't use the word catastrophic, but what's sad is how well my cousin playing, Anthony Davis, and they just awful. They so bad.
Yeah, he's playing lights out. I mean, he's playing like a madman, and just he's got no one else with him. Jrue Holiday is finally back from injury, and Tyreke Evans will be back at some point, so he'll get those two pieces back, which will help some. It'll be better than what they got, I'll say that. Because
then you still got what OKC and all them gonna do. Clippers looking good. I think it should be fun times in the league and not be so boring. Like times fast when you just had people.
I just hope if the Clippers keep playing like they're playing, I hope that it leads to something. It seemed like they start out every year playing well and then get to the playoffs and they're out in the first, second round. the Pelicans and Anthony Davis, I've heard, you know, a bunch of these pregame shows with the NBA games, a lot of people asking, you know, should they think about trading him? No. If you trade him, you might as well move the team, because the Pelicans, he's the only thing that's keeping them relevant in New Orleans.
Well, he didn't think that would be this bad. But God, they just awful.
Well, and even if he plays out his contract in New Orleans, he will still only be like 29 years old.
You said only, he keep having injuries the other night. What happened? Something was wrong with his back.
Your back would hurt too if you was carrying all these, carrying this whole team on it like that.
Well, it's other people that be carrying their teams, and they don't be hurt every time you look at them. He an injury looking for a place to happen, basically.
Let me ask I want your opinion on this. What is your opinion on players sitting out games because of rest? Like LeBron last night sat out, and there's big controversy because there was a bunch of people mad because they bought tickets at the Pacers to go watch them play LeBron, and LeBron didn't play. And they basically wasted their money.
I think the league needs to decide, do they want people to be fresh and cut out all this cross? You can play the people in your division more, and then all that cross-country traveling, then cut down on some of these games or some of this travel so that people won't be paying their money thinking they seeing Magic Johnson, and then doggone it, I go to the game and he don't fight, I'm going to be mad.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to tarnish the brand. People going to stop going to games. And right. Just be like, well, if that's the case, I can watch it on TV, and then if he don't play, I can just go to another channel, or if I got NBA League Pass, I can go to another game or something. Because people really didn't care when it was Tim Duncan, honestly. Like, they did. You know, when Pop was doing that, they don't really care so much. But when, you know, you sit out LeBron, somebody else did this, it was when San Antonio played Miami when they had that mini rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
And Pop sat out like Tony and Duncan and somebody else. And
they were like, sit out all.
See, them play, and then you didn't even play them. So, I understand they have to do what's best for the teams, but the fan is the reason that y'all can do what y'all do. So, when people pay, because they pay a grip to go to these games, and if some of them driving long distances, and then you get there, and you're like, dang, I thought I was going to see LeBron or KD or whoever, because I suspect Durant, I'm going to start sitting people soon. They got to work on their chemistry first, but I suspect they'll start sitting people.
Yeah, I imagine that's coming.
Once they get the chemistry and the lineups and how he wants that to flow.
Their defense is awful. I will say they don't. It's almost like they don't play any.
Well, the couple they of can games play also, around. They won't be in the finals. Yeah, I'll tell you that. Play around and don't play no defense.
Because as good as they can score, they're not going to be able to outscore people every night. They're going to have off nights, which they've already had.
Yes, and when you play in the playoffs, and people see the, start seeing you more and more, you ain't going to be catching nobody by surprise by what kind of offense and what y'all looking like. Right. So, good luck.
Yeah,
I can't even get into my Northeast Mississippi Power. I'm surprised they didn't kick me off count. Sorry, that's a sidebar.
At that note, let's put a bow on this episode. that's gonna be our episode for today. I hope you all enjoyed it. As always, I'm one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with
T. I got greens, beans, potatoes, tomatoes, lambs, hams, hogs, dogs, chickens, turkeys, rabbits, you name it, Davis.
chicken. Oh.
You gotta play it for them so that they'll know what we're doing. Somebody probably ain't heard it. So you gotta throw that on the end.
Oh my gosh, yes. And this has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We go on to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.